This is Party Line on WILO 1570 AM and 96.9 FM, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. If you're listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally at 765-659-3338 or toll free at 1-800-447-4463. If you're listening to this program on our afternoon encore broadcast, don't call, just enjoy the show. Now let's join Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Welcome to Party Line on this Monday. Let's thank our sponsors off the bat. They are Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Your Edward Jones advisor, Brett Capps. Simple Time Antique, step back into a simple time. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. And Welty Custom Exteriors, Welty works for you. I'm Kevin Keith, along with WILO Morning Man Todd Berryman. Todd, good morning.
Good morning. I think we need to talk about that Facebook thing at some point. You and I were talking
I was
going to
bring
here.
It up this morning.
Because I've got something I can, a saw I can run with on,
okay.
on that I need to... You know, if we had the Hoosierland TV feed running, I could show everybody what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be necessary to explain. Like, Facebook has kind of started to lose its sense of humor or something, or they're getting
entirely.
A little, or they're getting too overzealous with fact checking when it's something that is obvious baloney.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
we can get into that in a moment. And I was wanting to share it with
but
the
I've got the
this
weather
morning.
To do.
I was debating on whether to share that or not, but
I
had decided
back you
this
to the
morning.
Hilt.
Well, thank you, as our resident, one of our resident liberals,
tree hugger to you,
who has a pretty good common sense grip on things. Yes, first the Skywatch weather forecast, which is kind of ugly, a freeze watch in effect from tomorrow night through Wednesday morning. Today, we'll see the increase in clouds and a high up to 65. Going to be cloudy tonight, a low at 38, and much colder, cloudy tomorrow, chance of rain showers in the morning. Then rain showers, maybe mixed with snow showers in the afternoon. They're saying a snow accumulation up to an inch, maybe. A high at 43 only tomorrow. And then snow showers Tuesday night, maybe mixed with rain showers in the evening. Then snow showers likely after midnight. Light snow accumulations, low at 28. And then Wednesday, partly cloudy, still a slight chance of snow in the forecast, high 44. Some widespread frost Wednesday night as we wake up Thursday morning. It'll be sunny on Thursday with a high 53.
That's a death metal band, right? Widespread frost.
Yeah.
Break off the knob, baby.
So you said that you've seen a couple different forecasts that say anywhere between 2 to 5 inches.
2 seems to be the average. 5 is at the high end from at least one meteorologist that I'm aware. Well, actually, 2 have said that.
Okay.
One of them is more local. He's the guy's name is Chris McNew. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he does a weather for Hoosiers page on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds familiar.
And I've discovered that his forecasts tend to be the more accurate ones. Like, he'll forecast a certain amount of snow or whatever, and Indy will be like, oh, no, we don't think, and then they'll start to kind of slowly come towards
mm-hmm,
him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been one of the 5-inch ones, which is why I'm not dismissing that out of hand just yet.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on it for you. I heard meteorologist this morning on WLFI talking about the ground being warm, so not much of it will stick around, but the roads will be cold,
mm-hmm.
so it could certainly get interesting. So they're talking about the sub-freezing over the next couple nights as a result, that freeze watch in effect from tomorrow night through Wednesday morning. It's 46 now from your official weather station, WILO.
And that will be the opening act for widespread frost,
yes.
baby.
Well, we got Jason Forsyth on standby here. He's going to talk about the 28 project here, which everyone is anxious to know about. Then we'll be talking with Shan Sheridan at 8:45 this morning on our Leading with Hope and Vision. And then at 9 o'clock, we are expecting a phone call from Bud McQuaid, who can tell us a little bit about the Washington Avenue project, which is slated to start, I believe, this week as well. We will start things off first with Frankfort Street Superintendent Jason Forsyth. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing good today.
Good.
Pre- Appreciate your time over the last couple of weeks trying to keep a handle on things with the Frankfort Police Department and everything. And I guess we got a little relief over the weekend. What was it? Sometime Saturday they opened up the Jackson Walnut intersection there?
Yeah, they opened that up about 7 o'clock Saturday evening. So trucks can obviously now go westbound on 28, all traffic for that matter. And you still have your traffic that can run 39 north and south. So that's that was a good thing for us. Still, some, you know, obviously need to be careful down in that area. There's going to be work going on down there in the south lane. There, you know, from basically Jackson all the way out to McKinley Avenue. You know, still have the detours we would like trucks to take coming in from the west. That we have set out there, and obviously have trucks use the designated detours that NDOT put forth probably a month ago. So we can keep doing that. Things will be a lot better within the city.
Did you find, have we heard anything on the contaminated dirt down there at that intersection, any status on that?
Yeah, I made several phone calls on Friday morning, I guess, got with the Department of Environmental Management and several people that we know locally here that work for that group, and we were able to get a location taken care of for that for the time being until EMB figures out where they're going to take it permanently. So that was a huge thing that we were able to get accomplished. We had some utility issues down there during the last couple weeks that we were able to get accomplished. It cost us a couple days. We were really lucky, to be honest with you, Kevin, to get it open by Saturday evening. But it was definitely something that I was pushing for before today because of Washington Avenue's possible closure with the gas work starting to roll down there. So they've already been working down there near the post office, but they have not got on Washington Avenue where we need to close it. So it was very important to get that intersection open and vehicles strolling that way, because we had a lot of our, one of our main detours was sending trucks down to Washington Avenue from the jog to get through town. And obviously we couldn't have done that if we'd had to shut Washington Avenue down today. So it was super important to be able to get that opening opened up down there.
I know we've been talking about the 28 project the last couple of years now, and there's only so much we can do to let the listeners know about that happening. But once you wake up the morning of and you see they've ripped up a mile or two of pavement pretty quick, and everything's down to one lane going back and forth, it kind of brings it into perspective, doesn't it? That it's a hard way. There's no good way to prepare people for this.
Well, when you only have a two-lane road,
yeah,
you got to work on one, and the other one has to be closed. And, you know, for them, to be honest with you, Kevin, they've done a really good job.
They have.
Once things have, you know, once we've gotten these little snafus, which you always have in road construction, they've done a really good job of getting the work done to be able to get that open. I know it was supposed to be a five-day project, and it dwindled into 11 or 12-day project, but, I'll be honest with you, I could probably write a small book in the last 10 days that I've worked with State Road 28 and Washington Avenue. I could probably write myself a book on all the information, all the things that we've done, all the phone calls that have made. The police department's been super with me and helping me when they, you know, they're short guys as well. City Light and Power stepped in, obviously, not only with their work down there on 28, but we had a couple trees that had been hit that needed to get taken down. One was on Clinton and Clay, which is probably the busiest road right now on Clinton Street. So the police department helped us with that, and City Light and Power got it done and got it removed. And, you know, hopefully it's not a traffic hazard anymore. It's just been one thing after another for the last 10, 11, 12 days.
What is the next phase for 28, Jason?
Well, they'll continue this work all the way out to 200, Kevin, which will probably run through, they're saying possibly August, and then they will do the other lane. So one lane will stay open for a while, going west, and then they'll have to close it. And the other lane coming east, you'll be able to go east, but it will not be able to go west. So, and then the final project will start in 2022, and that will be from Jackson Street going east to the Jog. Basically the same improvements on both ends, sidewalks, utilities, obviously new roadway pavement probably. Looked to me like they, I think I remember during the meeting that they were going down about 16 to 18 inches to take out all that old brick and pavement down there and really reinforce State Road 28 because, you know, obviously the traffic that they have, but it's been a long time coming. And I think by going down that far, you know, we mill about two and a half inches here in town when we re-asphalt. And they went down on 28 almost 16 inches. I mean, it's kind of neat if you can go down there, if you're an old historian or like just, you know, in being involved in paving, the old brick, you can see where the old brick was, you know, many years ago, what all of our streets look like.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was kind of a cool thing for me to step down in there and see last week, Thursday, I think it was, I was down by Good to Go on Columbia and you could see where they milled that one side up. And like I said, went down about 16 to 18 inches, and you can actually see the old brick sitting there, and it looks like the brick's brand new.
It's, wow.
It's been aged. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I wasn't old enough to see what it looked like back in the day, but I've seen pictures of it and always wanted to, kind of was curious to see. You know, we got one brick road left here in town, and everything else is asphalt, but it was kind of neat to see those kinds of things. But, yeah, they're actually, just on Saturday alone, they've done a lot of work down at that intersection. And to be honest with you, Kevin, that intersection, you remember, right, they had that what I called an island in the middle of 28.
Yes.
There by CBS. And if you drive down there now, it's like you take a deep breath because, you know, even though it's not done, every down there, that island's gone. And it's like, man, there's just so much more room down
yeah.
here to move. Like it used to be.
That island has been the bane of a lot of people's existence
oh, yeah.
for a long time. Yeah.
I mean, that's an improvement in itself.
Absolutely.
The only other thing I would tell everyone is, you know, I believe it's on Main Street. I haven't been down there today, but on the north side of Walnut or north side of 28, they have a barricade up there, and it's in the right-hand lane. So to speak, because there's three lanes. You got a turn lane, and then the lane if you're going north, and then your southbound lane. But they have a barricade up there, and it's kind of confusing. You need to use basically the turn lane to go straight. You can't turn there anyway. You can't turn left there anyway. So you basically need to use the turn lane to go straight. I saw where people were a little confused about that last night when I drove down there. So just be aware of there, and that's right there. What I'm talking about is right there at the entrance to the west end of Farmers Bank.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So that area is a little confusing down there, but everything else seems to be pretty self-explanatory, and I've been sitting here talking to you here by Speedway and watching traffic, and all the trucks seem to be using the State Road 28 way of going through town now, so that's a good thing. They're not on that Washington Avenue any longer, so...
All right. Are there any other closures that we need to be looking ahead to before we let you go, Jason?
I got a call in to Steve Horesca with Patton right before I called you. I was told today that they would need to close Washington Avenue, and Bud may have more of that. I haven't talked to Bud this morning, but
okay.
Bud may have more information for you on that. But Steve hasn't called me back, but once he gets on to Washington Avenue and they start doing the gas work down there, that will have to be a hard closure. So it will be closed up, but basically just like 2839 was. And then you'll have some closures, obviously, on the side streets at Catterlin and Sims and some of your O'Neill mm-hmm. and Oy Street, some of those side streets there. You won't be able to get out onto Washington Avenue. But so far, I haven't seen them down there working this morning. I was down there, and it's open as we speak, but that may change either later today or still earlier this week. So, as of right now, nobody's down there. And I, like I said, they were working down around the AutoZone and the post office, running a line right there. And, you know, they even worked with me, Kevin, and, you know, finished up all they needed to do there to stay off Washington Avenue so I could keep it open to get 28 and 39 open. So there's just a lot of players in, a lot of people that, that helped out, through the whole process to get that intersection open. But I would say sometime this week, Washington Avenue will be a hard closure, but I just don't, I can't say right now as to what day that would be. The detours for that are already up. Those are on Washington. Those go down Washington Street. I've had a couple conversations with individuals out on the Washington Street, Washington Drive area east of town about semis. We're looking to possibly, I'm going to get with the Board of Works sometime today about doing some one-side parking there where the S-curve is on Washington Street as you approach Mash Road, because of the semis, obviously. But that is the MOT, the designated MOT for Washington Avenue through the state, is that particular detour. And we'd had those detours covered up until everything opened up downtown. So you'll see more trucks on Washington Street. You'll probably see still some on Clinton Street going east because those people that are coming from west to east on 28 are still coming all the way into the island. And when they get to the island, and they cut over, like obviously towards Monon, the only road that they can continue to go east on is Clinton. So that's the reason you're seeing all those trucks. If we could get those trucks to use the designated area that I had set aside going Prairie Avenue, Greenlawn, and go east on Kelly or south on 39, that would be huge for us. It would cut down on the number of trucks we have trying to go through town and pick 28 back up out by the high school. Those are, you know, those designated detours that the state put up are obviously on your outlying areas, your 65s, your 47s, your 421s. But I had that as a local detour, and the police department let me use one of their message boards that are on Prairie Avenue and running trucks off of 28 to Prairie Avenue, which right there at Frankfort Truck and Car. Take that out south so you get Greenlawn Road, and Greenlawn Road is wide open. You turn right there, spoke with the county, they were all right with me using that detour route. You take that all the way to basically past Greenlawn Cemetery, the 39, you can go south and head out of town that way if you're a semi, or you can go back north to Kelly and take Kelly all the way out to 421 and take 28 back up out there, which I think that's been being used because it obviously drives right past the mayor's residence. She tells me she sees those trucks going by there, but we just need everybody to use that if that's a possible, destination. If they're going east or south, that's what we would like them to use. But like I said, if they come all the way in to the detour that EMB set up, they're right there by the, call the old island. I cannot remember the name. Vintage Cafe, I think. They're taking that. And when that winds around, it winds around right, you know, past Midway Tavern. And it shoots right down Clinton Street, right downtown, and then obviously all the way out to the Mash Road area. Because when they get to the issue we were having, and we will probably continue to have, is, Kevin, they were getting to Hoke and Clinton and trying to turn back onto Hoke to hit the jog while they were driving in people's front yards.
Right.
So what we want to do there, even though we don't want them on the city street, the easiest thing for them to do is shoot right on out Clinton to Mash, and then turn south on Mash to hit 28 and go there by the high school and go back west, or go back east.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, we're trying to keep them from doing that, but that's the only, that's probably the best route for them to take. There's a one-side parking all the way up Clinton Street, so there's plenty of room. There's no low-lying trees there, so there's plenty of room to get there. But if we can get them to take that local truck route that I and Chief Shoemaker and Renee Crick from Central Dispatch set up. Hopefully, you know, if we can get them to do that, that will be, you know, that many less trucks going through town. But sometimes they don't do that. You don't always know where they're going.
Sure.
I mean, they have, you know, we got to remember they have jobs to do too as well. And but we're trying to do what we can. But that would help if they would take that that suggested, because Warner's, I think I talked to you guys last time, Warner's and Bailey's, was, and when I talked to them, just, you know, for instance, because they're a local, local area, and we come up with, that detour down Prairie for those types of people, but anybody coming in from the west as far as semis could use that detour and would never have any problem turning anywhere, would never get into our city streets, but you can't be standing there as they're coming down east on 28 from the factories and tell them where to turn it.
Yeah, not practical.
But, you know, the whole 28-39 is definitely a huge thing for us for all of the westbound traffic, and not just truck traffic, but just local traffic. Because, like I said, people don't like to be inconvenienced, and we get that. But I think it worked out as best as it could have worked out, and I think we got it open a couple days, three days earlier because of a lot of local work on the project that normally we wouldn't do. So pretty happy to get it open, and hopefully things will continue to run smoothly. And you know, police department's had a lot of accidents at a lot of different locations because of that too. So hopefully that will slow down for them as well. And, there'll be continued progress down there on 28. What they're seeing now, obviously, is just the beginning. It's going to be nice once we get all the new paving finished, all the new sidewalks, all the new ADA ramps, obviously utilities underground. Replacing 100-year-old utilities is huge for down there. And it kind of opens up even for the sheriff. I even called him Saturday night and said, hey, just let you know, if your guys have a call that they need to go west on, they can go that way now. Maybe get to it to respond to a call much quicker than they used to. Same
right.
With the police. So there's a lot of advantages to getting that main intersection open. So it was nice to get that done.
Well, Jason, thanks for keeping it straight for us and all your employees and city officials working together, including the police department. It's been nice to see everyone working together on that.
Yep. And pray for no snow for me. Anything that's a bonus for me, I could use right now.
Okay.
So, whoever was talking about 5 inches, we need to bring that down to about a half inch and melt when it hits the ground. That's what we need.
All right. We'll do what we can for you.
All right. Take care, bud.
Thanks, Jason. All right. We appreciate that. It is time for the WILO and Clinton County Chamber of Commerce Leading with Hope and Vision. We say good morning to Shan Sheridan. Shan, thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Doing beautiful on this beautiful Monday morning.
Yeah, it is. It's gorgeous. It is a beautiful day, beautiful weekend, and a great week ahead.
So what's the latest with the Chamber of Commerce? Got some exciting things, as I know you and I are pretty much aligned on how we feel about COVID-19 and hoping to get this thing in the rearview mirror. We've got a mask advisory now instead of a mandate, and things are hopefully pointed in the right direction.
Well, it sure is great to see all the smiling faces instead
yes.
of cloth.
Right.
So it's great to see more people exposing their face and seeing those pretty smiles. So hopefully that will continue as things continue to move forward and more folks, whether they decide to get vaccinated or not, the more herd immunity is happening. I think it's going to make an impact with relieving some of those requirements or restrictions in other states. I know that we have been fortunate and blessed here that we've not been quite so. I talked this to my friends in California or my friends in Michigan, and it's they're still under quite the lockdown tyranny. So we're thankful here in Indiana that we have what we have and the freedoms that we have. So we're grateful for that. But no, things are going well even during COVID frustration and really a lot of disruption in the market, a lot of disruption in business. We're still seeing some growth. It's not as robust as it was in 2019, but I think things are coming back online. We'll be making some announcements on some buildings here relatively soon. The reason the delay has been kind of COVID related. It's about getting supplies and getting and the lumber prices. So some of the projects have been delayed simply because when you have lumber prices three times as high as what they were just 18 months ago, it does make an impact.
We've certainly got a lot going on out at 65, and I think here, in the next couple of years, things are going to really develop, and I think we've got the right time for it now, coming out of COVID and jumping full speed ahead, going out to the interstate.
Absolutely, and we're prayerful and hopeful and cautiously optimistic that as we rebound out of this COVID commerce or the COVID economy, that we'll be able to see a more strong and more definitive economy in the future. The biggest concern right now is what will inflation do with all of this money that is being handed out? What will that impact inflation? Common sense would tell you, economics would tell you that it will. When will that hit? And is that going to defer some projects that might have been in the pipeline? So those are all things that we're watching, we're looking, but so far so good. We're seeing some projects that we are dusting off the cover, and hopefully they're going to come back online. But yes, to your point, at 28 and 65, the location is great, the opportunity is great, and we're grateful for the partners that are involved to make it work.
And one more thing, Shan, before we let you go, I know the Chamber of Commerce at Main Street, I'm excited. I know it's a little over a month away, but we'll actually get back to the return of Thursday Thunder in early June.
Yeah, early June is coming back, first and third Thursdays. It'll be Thursday Thunder, and there'll be music. There'll be a lot of cars. We're excited. We've got a few people from out of town that has already contacted us and very interested about bringing their vehicles and bringing their musical talents. But we're very thankful for our local people and what they do and what they're going to bring. So, things are, we never stopped it last year. We kept moving, kept grooving, and it was a great event for our summer. But I think it's going to even be greater this year, be more people out and about, and hopefully it'll be something that it'll get some folks all pumped up and excited about being outside and celebrating both our past, our present, and our future.
Anything else you care to share with us, Shan, before we let you go?
Hey, just keep smiling. We'll keep the snow away. It's going to be a Chamber of Commerce week, and we're going to be fine. So we'll be great.
All right. Shan Sheridan, I appreciate your time as always, sir.
No worries. God bless. Thank you, guys, for all you do. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, Shan Sheridan, on the WILO, Clinton County Chamber of Commerce, leading with hope and vision. Holy cow, it's already 9 o'clock. We'll be back with a second portion of Party Line next on WILO.
This is Party Line, on the air for over 60 years, on WILO, Frankfort, Indiana, USA, a Casper Media station.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
When you need to know, use WILO. For over 60 years, the WILO weather team has been bringing expertise, resources, and experience to be here when you need us. Thunderstorms, blizzards, delays, cancellations, hail, tornado events, heat advisories, and more. Like our extensive coverage of the damage caused by the 4.0 earthquake that struck Clinton County. When you need to know, use WILO, the station you can depend on.